everyone, and welcome to another episode of Great People TV with me, Ben Ibrahim, and my wonderful international partner in crime, Sylvia Friedman. Sylvia, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's amazing to be here, and I'm excited about our guest today.
Yes, we have a very, very wonderful guest all the way from New Haven, America. He is in the sports industry, but he's also an entrepreneur, he's also an author, and as usual, I cannot take credit, this is the wonderful network of Sylvia.
No, it's the power of LinkedIn, I'm telling you. But Rob has had such a distinguished career in the NFL. That's the American Football League, for those of us in Asia who don't get this on our channels, our TV channels. He's got quite the distinguished career and is an author of a best-selling book on sports business. It's called Land a Dream Job If Dad Doesn't Own the Team. And he released the second edition, Sports Dream Job Playbook. And he's the founder of Game Plan U, MyConnectSports.com. That's a global community connecting sports and media executives to sports tech innovators, founders, and investors. And I'm so pleased that, you know, you're connected with him because you're very prominent in the field of sports across Asia, and you really pour heart and soul to elevate sports, Ben. I have to give it to you. You're quite the spokesperson really. So it's going to be a great show.
Just like Great People TV, Sylvia, it's all about passion and love. And you said it right there earlier, LinkedIn. So let's link Rob right now into our Great People TV episode. Welcome, Rob.
Thanks for having me, everybody. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you, Rob.
You've got so many stories to tell, so let me do the honor of asking the very first question. You had a very decorated career as an American football player at the university level, and then you also played at the NFL level. Tell us about that.
Well, I think it was great because there's one thing I wasn't that guy, that kid that grew up that wanted to play professional sports. It never even entered my mind. I grew up in a very blue-collar area where things like that didn't happen to people like us. You know, that happened to other people out there in the world. And, you know, my dad was a carpenter. My mom was a nurse. And there wasn't a lot of folks that went on to play professional sports out of the town I grew up in. So when it happened to me, you know, first of all, I had to stay healthy for all those years, you know, and stay on the field. And I ended up going to a school that I didn't particularly want to go to. But it worked out and the stars aligned. And sometimes karma and the universe kind of comes to us. We had a quarterback who ended up going into the NFL. He got drafted, and we had a bunch of other guys on our team that went to the NFL. And so there's a lot of scouts that came, and I played a lot of college football by chance, you know, and one thing led to another, and I was lucky enough to get signed by the New England Patriots, and then I ended up playing over in England, finishing out my career over there. So it gave me my first taste of living abroad. And, you know, when you grow up in the U.S., you think everything revolves around the U.S., you know, and everybody speaks the same language, and for the most part. And when you have a chance to kind of expand that, it kind of broadened my career, my life to there's a bigger world out there in sports. And we all have a couple of things in common. We have food, we have music, we have sports, and, you know, we have music. And those are the same things that we share in common. And that was the world that was opened up to me living over in England for a year playing.
Fantastic. Wow.
Sylvia, I just gotta ask this question, sorry, before I hand it over to Sylvia.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm sure, Rob, you get this question asked a lot at dinner parties when you say I played in the NFL. And in the NFL, you live in a bubble, a bubble that is perceived by others as something glamorous, but it's probably far from that. People think NFL, in your case, you know, New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, you know, big guys who are lifting weights all the time and, you know, living a very glamorous lifestyle, but it's a very competitive lifestyle and a lifestyle that you can get cut tomorrow. Tell us about that.
Well, I wasn't there long enough. They sent me over to Europe and, you know, there's so much anxiety and stress being involved in it, you know, and I think when you have to, you know, you have to play in the league for 5 years to get your pension. you know, so it was always like, let's just get to, and most guys don't. I think the average is three years. But there's so much anxiety. I didn't even enjoy it. Actually, I enjoyed playing over in England a lot more.
Sure, I'm sure.
And, but I was, I think, you know, it's what you see is what you get. The thing about it is with athletes and pro athletes, they're not actors. So, you know, it's like when people say you meet somebody and say, oh, well, that's what they're right, like, you know, like in real life. Well, they're athletes. They don't change. But I mean, that's how they're not putting on a phoniness to them. So what you see is what you get. And that's the thing I love about it. And the great thing I love about athletics is that it's, I don't care what you look like. I don't care where you're from. Talent will always win out, you know, and it's very finite. It's very, very finite. There's no politics of getting on the field. You know, there's no politics to being a good athlete. You have to, you earn it, you know, and unfortunately, most of life and business is not like that, you know, and, but athletics is, you know, so that's, I think that's a beautiful foundation of kind of what we'll talk about with my career after that. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, Rob, do you have any injuries that bother you today? Like most of the sports people I know have like knee issues and they take medicine for it every day. Like what do you have?
Oh, well, I can tell you one answer and my wife will probably tell you another, but I really don't. I played 18 years and I really, yeah. And I played offensive line. So I was hitting every game, every day, every play.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was very, very, very lucky and I never had any injuries.
Yeah. Oh, wow, Rob. That's amazing. I was quite touched by your LinkedIn post about your experiences with dyslexia. Could you tell us what that was like and how you overcame?
Well, dyslexia, if you don't know what it is, it's, I mean, it never leaves you. It's always there. And some people have it where they, you absorb information different. And for me, it was numeric dyslexia. And it wasn't that I don't write things in backwards or I don't have problems, you know, reading a book or, you know, it's absorbing information and it goes along with ADD and attention. And there's a lot of, and I never realized I had it until I got to college. And yeah, so never got diagnosed in the 80s in the States. And it was just kind of growing up in a very blue collar, rough town. I was one of the kids that didn't get in trouble. So I think everybody felt sorry for me. So they're like, just push them out the door and get them on to the next grade. And it limited where I could go to college because of my grades and the standardized testing that we do here in the States. And so I didn't test well. And my grades were very, very bad. But I never was in any trouble. And I love going to school. So what I found out about myself is that dyslexia gives you what it causes on one side of your brain. It gives you amazing creativity on the other. So wow. you see a lot of entrepreneurs and you're risk adverse. So you don't think about risks and you don't think about things. So a lot of entrepreneurs, very, very successful entrepreneurs have dyslexia. And a lot of artists and a lot of musicians have dyslexia because your creativity and your intuition is your superpower. And it's very interesting. So, yeah. So once I realized what it was and how to deal with it, I used it to my advantage in all of my career. So I put myself in positions of creativity, business development, relationships where I could use my intuition. And if I had to sit there and work on P&L sheets all day long and strategy and execution, that wasn't me, you know.
That's not me either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I love that, turning a perceived weakness into a superpower. That's very inspirational, Rob.
Yeah, thank you.
And Rob, I've got to ask this question, or we've got to ask this question. You worked for Uncle Walt Disney for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Tell us about that experience, about creativity, imagination, taking all those things to higher levels every day.
It's the most amazing company. You know, what you see is they treat the cast members, which they call us. You're surrounded by extremely creative, talented, smart people. And the one missing ingredient in it that our HR department, because I had about 250 people that rolled up to me, was she would always say to me, when you hire people, there's a lot of smart people, there's a lot of talented people, but just hire the nice people. I was like, well, that makes sense. And it was an incredible place. I was there at the right time. I was family face in media, so I dealt with Radio Disney, Disney XD, so the music side of it, Disney Channel, so all those High School Musical, wow. Anna Montana, the Jonas Brothers. Those are all projects and franchises that I worked on. So I sold nationally across the country, across all the franchises, concert tours and mall tours. And so anything that had to do with kind of the family face and franchise and the media side is what I did for over a decade. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And what were the key learnings from that? Like, what's your key takeaway?
Is understanding. We talk a lot about the mom. So the front seat and the back seat was our consumer. You know, it was the mom who is the CEO of the family, and the back seat were the influencers, you know, and, you know, when you understand the dynamic of how that works within a family dynamic, and I don't care where you are in the world, it's pretty much all the same. And so we would base a lot of our programming around that. So it's really just kind of it's one thing to kind of come out with a project and you think, oh man, this is going to be so great. But when you really, really understand your core consumer, and the one thing I learned at Disney, I was the minority. I was the white male who was married with kids, who was the minority working for the Walt Disney Company in my division. It was very, very much female led. It was very, very diverse. And because those are the voices of our consumers, you know, and if you weren't listening to what everybody's perception was and everybody's impact is, then you couldn't create a program and a business that's going to be successful, because the entire world is your consumer and they don't look all like me, you know? And so that was a big learning of surround yourself with a bunch of nice, smart, talented people. You just reverse what you're looking for. That care about each other's opinions and open to the world of creativity and possibilities. And that was the core of the Walt Disney Company. Yeah. So pretty amazing place.
Excellent.
Rob, you seem to have a lot of D's in your DNA. When I say D's, determination from American football, dyslexia, and Disney. How did all these three D's fuel you to become that successful entrepreneur and author that Sylvia spoke about at the top of the show?
I think everything in my career, that's a good question. Everything in my career, when I look back at it now, because you never really know your career when you're going through it, because you're just trying to survive and figure it out, right? Yeah, right? Yeah. So when I look back at it now, I look at the things that I've done from the first business I ever started to what I did for the NFL to Disney. It's always been out of serving others. And for me, the platform was American football and sports. But serving others, whether they had a great experience at our events or providing a great tournament or a great event or a great game or great in-school programming or great music, it's always been around serving others and providing them with an experience that's going to be memorable. And that's the great thing about entertainment. And I can tell you this, I've been over to Asia many times with the NFL when we were launching the Play Football for Boys and Girls 6 to 14. And the one thing I learned about that experience, so I've been to Hong Kong, Singapore, Thailand, South Korea, and Japan.
And you didn't come to Malaysia.
I didn't come to Malaysia, no. No, but what we were trying to do, and the thing about it was, is we were trying to build the next NFL player. The philosophy is if you put a ball or stick or a bat into any child's hand at a young enough age, chances are they're going to turn into a consumer. So if you think about the population of kids that grew up that play soccer or that play basketball or play baseball earlier on in their career, chances are they're going to be a consumer to buy the product, to go to the games, to watch it on TV. That was the philosophy that we had as well. And it carried over to the philosophy of the Walt Disney Company. If you get them watching the TV, and listen to the music, they're going to turn into a consumer. And so I think the servant's mentality, serving others, seemed to be the theme of my career. And I just happened to do it through sports and entertainment. That's really it.
That's it. Well, Sylvia, yeah. I've only got one more question, and that's probably the wrap-up and the advice. And I'm sure, but I know you have a series of questions which you want to ask my friend, so.
Yeah, no, I wanted to ask about your book. Tell us about the message, the unique message that you wanted to get across in your best-selling book. And was it a difficult process to put that together?
Good question.
I did it over a weekend, actually. And
MVP.
Yeah, I cheated. I hacked it. But I wanted to be able to tell, there's just so many other people out there that were like me, that dad did not own the team. My uncle didn't work for the team. I had no connections into any pro sports organization other than being a former player, and I coached for a little while. So I had organic relationships with coaches, but not necessarily in. So the message behind that is, it doesn't matter where you come from, you know, just like we connected on LinkedIn. There's a bunch of principles that you could adhere to. Number one, I'm a big believer in entering this industry, whether it's the media industry, the sports industry, and entertainment industry, by volunteering, you know? So I could volunteer to say, hey guys, I'm going to call you up and I want to be your associate producer, or I want to do some research for you, right? I want to get in front of you two at least once a week and pick your brain. And I want to help you. I want you to teach me everything you can. And I'm going to volunteer for, I'll give you 6 months of my time. And how I got into the NFL to actually do that was, I actually volunteered for an event, you know, so we got a letter. And so my thesis of volunteering to do a career discovery, because you're going to figure out what you don't want to do long before you discover a career that you love, right? You're going to use your 20s to kind of do those crappy jobs, right? You've been there, right? We have all done those things. And so I think I wanted that the book had to be about that message was, you know, figure out who's going to be your advisors for your life. Like we all have life advice, like a kind of a life resume, life advisors. And who are they? You know, how big is your network and how important it is to network with people? And then volunteering, you know, going through that discovery process of volunteering and starting to eliminate some of the things that you don't want to do and using this time to do it. And just overall being generally consistent with your daily life, you know. We all had fun in college, but now college is over. Put your big boy pants on, a big girl pants on. Start getting up at 6 o'clock, you know, get your mind, your body, your spiritual, everything has to align, right? Yeah. Or it doesn't work. If one little thing's off, it doesn't work. So that's what my mess, and invest in real estate.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Consistency is key. Making yourself indispensable is another piece of great advice. And you just radiate so much dynamism and energy, Rob. I just feel inspired listening to you. Tell us about the entrepreneur work, the global sports community that you're trying to build, and then Ben will wrap up. Tell us what it is, and hopefully someone watching this will be able to connect with you.
Yeah, sure. So it was really started out of, I saw a need going back to my alma mater, my college alma mater, working with our students and also selling my business, that I was still interested in early stage startups, and early stage startups specific to sports technology, health wellness, health tech, fintech. So all those kind of blockchain, NFTs, all the things that are happening out there, gaming, esports. So that whole ecosystem I was very intrigued by, and I was willing to come in and as an angel investor and pull in some of the, when I sold my business, I got exposed to these VCs and private equity groups. So it was very intriguing. And I didn't want to run a business anymore. So I started GamePlan U as being that conduit of creating that ecosystem of aligning with these early stage founders who are looking for kind of that seed capital, that validation, and then working with VCs that are looking for deal flow, you know, and angels. I like angels because they're willing to roll their sleeves up and get in the mud with someone. And I always say, you look for smart money, people that could, they'll do you more favors and you'll drive your revenue sometimes with the doors that will open other than just a $25,000 check. So I saw that there's this huge, huge ecosystem, especially with college kids here in the States that don't want to work for anybody. They don't want to work for corporate America. They want to be independent. They want to be global. They want to work from Malaysia. They want to work from Hong Kong, right? And sitting on a boat. They just watch too many, you know, movies, I think, but you know, they want to work from Hawaii. They don't want to sit in a cubicle and on Park Avenue anymore. That's not the dream. Mm-hmm. And the dream is independence. And I think COVID has exposed that to all of us globally at the same time. So I think people know now that especially this Generation Z who's coming out that I want to be independent. And so I, being in that space right now, working in college athletics, I see it. I'm in the ground with it. And again, it's back to my servant's mentality. I just want to help as many people out as I can. If I get a little piece of that and help them, you know, fulfill their dream and be honest with them, you know, and be practical, then it's a win-win for everybody. And that to me is, I could go to bed, you know, calm and satisfied at night. So
excellent.
That's it.
Amazing, amazing content. Sylvia, great job for finding Rob. I mean, he's the dream machine in front of the camera and he's got the substance to back it up as well.
Oh, but yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant, man.
Yeah, wonderful discussion, Rob. But final question to wrap it up. Your name is Rob Thompson. And unfortunately, there's a million and one Rob Thompsons in the world, in Europe, in Australia, North America, South America. There's a million and one Phil Smiths, Tom Jones, you know, just so many. What's your advice to everyone out there for this Rob Thompson to stand out against the other Rob Thompsons, Joe Smiths, and, you know, all around the world? Because it's that uniqueness that's going to, like you said, open those doors and keep those doors open.
I've always been honest to a fault and I've always kept my word. And sometimes it's painful to do that, you know? And I've always been rooted in, it's probably why I've been married to the same woman for 32 years and just being honest and getting married and promising to be faithful to this one woman for 32 years has been the foundation of my life. And if you can't do that and you can't do that in front of God, you can't do that in front of your friends and family, and you're going to lie about that, then nothing else would ever work in your life to be successful. And to me, that is the ultimate foundation. I said, you know, you could teach people a lot of, you could teach them to be gritty, you could teach them to be, but you can't teach them to be a stand-up, honest person. That has to come from within. And, you know, we all make mistakes. I made mistakes, you know, but the one thing I'll never make a mistake with is the foundation of my family. And that begins with my wife, my children. And that has helped me in everything I've done. There's a reason why I never got injured playing 18 years of a very, very violent sport. And somehow, some way, I think that has preceded me into my career as well. And I never look at mistakes as it's going to be a career ending. I look at it as it stinks right now, but tomorrow you get another shot at it. So I don't know. That's what I live my life on. And I hope I could spread that down the line to many other students that I work with. And, you know, it's been a real pleasure meeting both of you.
Well, it's been inspirational, hasn't it been, Sylvia?
Oh yeah. No, you walk the talk, Rob. And yeah, that's very inspiring. It's your commitment, your integrity, that you were married for over 30 years. That's, wow, beautiful, very beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so the key takeaways here, everyone, from Rob, he's given us the 3 Ds, but he's also given us the 3 Fs to finish off this wonderful episode. That F is faithfulness, The other F is family. And the final F is be forward in the most respectful way possible. Rob Thompson, you are a fantastic, wonderful human being, great mm-hmm. substance. And we say this all the time to our guests, you're a friend now. So anytime you're part of the Great People TV family, anytime you want to come back and tell wonderful stories on all your business adventures, education adventures, life adventures, anything at all, just send us a WhatsApp, Malaysian Hong Kong style. We'll have you back on Great People TV because you are a great individual. Thank you, Rob Thompson.
I bet. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So the other F is faith. He really, I just really was inspired when he mentioned God. And he's a really brilliant, dynamic person. And I'm glad you connected with him, Ben, because you have a lot of connections, and this is your passion. You eat, breathe, eat sports, right?
Well, I also eat, breathe, and eat great people. Like, not literally, but like, that didn't sound right. So apologies about that. But you know, I mean, look, Sylvia, this show doesn't run by itself. It runs with great people like yourself. So great job on getting Rob, and thank you for everything that you've done for Great People TV. Just to share, everybody, this friendship with Sylvia started digitally.
And it did.
When I meet up with Sylvia, I owe her about 20 coffees, 20 char kway teows, 20 steak dinners because of everything that she's done, not just for Great People TV, but the friendship.
And I met Rob through LinkedIn. I was very touched by his powerful write-ups. So follow Rob Thompson on LinkedIn. He has a beautiful message to share. So yeah, no, Ben, it's been great.
That note, everybody, please don't forget, I forgot to mention it at the top of the show. That's on our social media platforms, which is Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. But on behalf of Sylvia Friedman, Rob Thompson, and myself, Ben Ibrahim, take care, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Great People TV.
Bye-bye.
Bye.